chapter 53, the prophet Isaiah, verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, and we did regard him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now over the page, chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith Jehovah. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Just a few verses in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 29 of chapter 8 of the Acts. And the Spirit said to Philip, approach and join this chariot. And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, dost thou then know what thou art reading of? And he said, how should I then be able, unless someone guide me? And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. The passage of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment has been taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answering Philip said, I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other? And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. And as they went along the way, they came upon a certain water, and the eunuch says, behold, water, what hinders my being baptized? And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they went down both to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no longer, for he went on his way rejoicing. I want to speak about God's way. I realize that I'm speaking to people that have heard the gospel many times. I trust most, if not all, have believed it. Isaiah, actually, his prophecy was mainly to God's people. We were somewhat shaken some little time ago to hear of one who had been in a Christian fellowship and partaken of the Lord's Supper over many years. But suddenly here she'd been converted. Well, it's wonderful to hear about someone being converted. We hope that someone will be converted tonight through this gospel and through every gospel. Friend, appearances are not enough. God's way involves reality. We know that there's a way in the world, and the world is full of unreality, but God's way involves reality. A meeting going and religion is not enough. I was speaking to an old lady in hospital last week. She was 89 last Sunday, and she's been a Roman Catholic all her life. And she's at the end of her life and she's frightened to die. Friend, we have to face reality. Will the faith or what you're holding to, will it stand you when the ultimate test comes? Jesus said, you know, of people who prophesied in his name and so on, he said, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Friend, it's not a question of appearance tonight before men. It's a question of where we each one of us stand before God. Whether we're each one solidly founded on the rock of which we have been singing together. There is something of which we can be sure. There is a way of salvation. There is a faith. There is a Saviour. A real Saviour. A living Saviour. On whom we can trust. And if we trust in Him, we shall never be confounded. We all go our own way. Isaiah tells us that in the scripture we have read, that we, like sheep, have gone astray. You've ever seen a field of sheep and seen one go through the hole in the hedge? It's not long before another one follows, and then another one. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. You can write that over the human race. Every one of us have gone our own way. And this world is full tonight of men and women and children who are trying to find happiness and peace and life their own way. And they never really find it. It's like a mirage on the horizon. They all must seem to get there, only to find they've been deluded. Friend, there is no lasting peace and joy and satisfaction in this world in going our own way. You may not believe that. You may want to try it for yourself. The younger son in the parable in Luke 15, he didn't realize how well off he was in his father's house, and he thought he could find a better way of happiness and a better way of enjoying himself, where he'd have security and life. And where did he end up? He ended up longing to fill his belly with the husks that the swine were eating. And this world is full of that kind of food. Full of filthiness and degradation. It's in every sphere of man. It's in his culture. It's in his arts. It's in his amusements. It's in his literature. It's all tarnished by sin. However, whatever way man may find, he can never be really happy unless he gets right with God. Man is so made that he can never really be happy unless he's in a right relationship with God. I want to ask you, friend, tonight, are you really happy in a relationship, a personal relationship with God? You know, at the final day, it doesn't really matter whether you've been brought up in a Christian home or whether you've gone to meetings or gone to church. What really matters is whether you know the Saviour for yourself. The fact that your mother and father may have known the Saviour will not do for you. Friend, you must come to know Jesus for yourself. As your own personal Saviour. You go your own way in life. What's the end of it? The way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof are the ways of death. All the pursuits of this world, it's absolutely true. It's music. It's entertainment. It's wealth. It's politics. It's commerce. All have to be left behind. You know the familiar question when somebody dies and people say, what did he leave? They all want to know what he left. But you know, friend, there's a simple answer to that. He left everything. He left everything. Whether he was the wealthiest man on earth, he leaves everything. He takes nothing with him. Got to stand before God. Got to give an account, as each one of us do, have to give an account of ourselves to God. Let each one of us tonight, friend, ponder, what is the end of the way in which we're on? The end thereof, of man's ways, of the ways of death. We have been speaking this weekend of a way that leads to life. way that leads to life. Have you found it? Have you made a start on the way that leads to life? It's our joy, dear friend, to tell you tonight that that life is found in Jesus. Life is found alone in Jesus. Only there 'tis offered thee. Without Christ, that's what Isaiah is saying in chapter 55 of his prophecy. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God is offering life tonight free. It's the gift of God. There are the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I often think, friend, that if men only knew what God was like, they'd want to know him. But they remain in ignorance of God. They don't know what kind of a God he is. They don't know what kind of a heart he's got. They don't know that he's got the full solution to man's happiness, both present and eternal. One of our hymns, I don't know whether it's in the book now, but ere thy heart commenced its beating, or thine eyes beheld the light, love divine for men was planning happiness in glory bright. God's way, friend. You know, why men can never find what they're really seeking is that they never really touch the real problem. They ignore the real problem, and that is their distance from God. It's the problem of sin. I think it's Isaiah says in his prophecy, it's your sins that have separated between you and God. And friend, before any of us can find true happiness and true life, that problem has to be faced. Man has no answer to it. The courts have no answer to sin, to crime, to violence. None of these things. There's no real answer. But friend, God's way. That's what I want to speak about tonight. God's way. God has moved to meet the problem, the source of the problem. How has he moved? In a most marvelous way, friend. He says in chapter 55, my ways are higher than your ways. Wonderful, you know, the way God has moved to meet this great problem of sin. Men are at the wit's end today. They thought they were building a society which was going to get better and better and better. And they're only finding that it's slowly getting out of control. They have no real answer to the problem, the real problem of the world. But God has moved, and he's moved in a glorious way, friend, a way that baffles human thinking. The exact opposite to the way that we think. God has moved. Think of the way he's come, coming down from glory. Who would have thought, friend, that God would have come himself? He says in this prophecy, he will come himself and save you. Coming down into Bethlehem's manger as a little babe. Isaiah speaks of it. Unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. Wonderful to think of it. Luke's gospel. Unto you is born today in David's city a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Baffle the great people of the day that God should come in, the mighty God should come in such a lowly way, a babe in Bethlehem's manger. Isaiah says he shall grow up before him as a tender sapling. Think of the loveliness of the life of Jesus here, a root out of dry ground, so different. Although he moved amongst men, so different to men. The lovely life of Jesus, so pure, so holy, so spotless, so pleasing to God. In his public service, making God so fully known, able to touch the leper and cleanse the leper. Wonderful. I was talking to a missionary some little time ago who worked in one of the African countries with lepers. And she was telling me that when they've had someone in hospital and they think they're cured, they give them a little certificate. But they can't write cured on it. They write apparently cured. Because they can never be sure that that awful disease will not return again. Now what we're speaking of, friend, in the gospel, is not a doubtful cure. It's a full and perfect answer for sin. Jesus, what was God's way of meeting the sin question? It was to give his only begotten Son. Who can understand why God should take such a way? Friend, that there was no other way. There was no other one who could have done the work than God's beloved Son. Remember the little hymn, there was no other good enough to bear our load of sin. There was no one capable, friend, of standing in the sinner's stead. Only God's own beloved Son. So Isaiah says where we read, we did regard him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Ponder for a moment, stop and think. And look at Calvary's cross. You see there the blessed Saviour, God's own beloved Son, hanging there. For 3 hours he was taunted by men, mocked, and jeered at. And then there came darkness over the whole land. That holy scene was shrouded in darkness when Jesus was made sin for us. Him who knew not sin was made sin for us. Friend, I think of that tonight. I want you to think of that. That's God's way of meeting the sin question, was to find a substitute for you and me. And that substitute was his own beloved Son. And my sins, you see what it says in this passage, Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You think of the mighty work of Jesus, think of his sufferings. Friend, these are his atoning sufferings. When our sins were laid upon him, I can look back, friend, on my sins, many of them. And it moves my heart afresh tonight to think that they were put on Jesus. The Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, he took my sins. They were every one laid upon him. God who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I am free. What a Saviour, what a glorious Saviour. But who can fathom, dear friend, what Jesus suffered? What love took him to Calvary's cross, to go that way of suffering and shame, to bear the forsaking of his God, and to meet the whole question of sin. God's judgment fully met. Friend, God's wrath poured out on the head of Jesus. The whole matter finished. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. I think that word, "it is finished," the Hebrew word that Jesus used, means paid in full. Paid in full. Apparently when there was someone in jail in those days, in prison, they had their crimes, their sins written and nailed to the door of their cell. And when they'd served the sentence, a line put through it, and the same Hebrew word was written on it, paid in full. And you know, that's the wonder of the work of Jesus on the cross, that for you and me who put our faith and trust in him, he paid in full the price. O love immense, astounding, O wondrous sacrifice, what a Saviour, what he bore on Calvary's cross, we shall never fathom. All our sins were laid upon him. Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. His precious blood was shed. For it is said, without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And remember, dear friend, it's not only the blood of Jesus, it's his blood shed. His blood poured out. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The precious blood of Jesus was shed. Shed at Calvary. You young people know that hymn. Shed for rebels. Shed for sinners. Can you say, shed for me? Yes, the precious blood of Jesus alone can cleanse us from our sins. The great apostle John, he says in the book of Revelation, to him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Friend, are you really certain tonight about the matter of your sins has been settled? Do you know that what it is to have your sins washed away in the Saviour's blood? You can know it tonight. God's way. Chapter 55, we read, God's way. Let the wicked forsake his way. Have done with your sins. Have done with your own way. And Isaiah says, let him return unto our God, and he will abundantly pardon. What a God we have to speak of. A God who has not spared his own Son, and who through his death and the shedding of his precious blood, his arms are outstretched in blessing tonight in the gospel to receive you. How wonderful a Saviour Jesus is. In him the pardon and mercy of the blessed God is known. This man, they said of Jesus, receives sinners. Come to God tonight by Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he shall be saved. There's no other way. There's no other way in to salvation tonight than by Christ the open door. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I can tell you, friend, I make a confession if you like, but I remember clearly tonight when I was on a wrong way. And I, every morning I got up and opened my Bible, it opened to Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto our God. And he will abundantly, he will have mercy upon him to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. What a way there is, a way back to God. Way back for the sinner into the favour of God. Peter preached it, the return journey, the way of repentance. He said to those he preached to, God has made him this Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. What a Saviour. They said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent. Each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will receive remission of sins and the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Wonderful blessings are offered freely in the gospel. Remission of sins. And remember, friend, that was offered to those who crucified the Lord of glory. What a God. How rich he is in mercy. What a pardoning God he is. That to the very murderers of his own Son, he would offer remission of sins and his Holy Spirit. Oh friend, what a heart God has got. The heart of God is love. That love extends to thee. For Jesus, his own Son, has died to set thee free. What a Saviour. Come to him tonight. If you're not really sure, friend, come tonight. Come to the Saviour. Get the matter settled of your sins tonight. Put your faith in Jesus. Put your faith in his work on the cross. Put your faith in his precious shed blood. And know the joy and peace of believing in this risen and glorified Saviour. Know the mercy of God. Know his pardon. Pardon for sins of deepest dye. A pardon traced in Jesus' blood. Isaiah tells the people that early in this very prophecy, God saying, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How ready God is to impart forgiveness and to cleanse the sinner. Oh, friend, how ready he is. Ready to run. The only time God is spoken of as running in the scriptures is when he ran to meet a repenting sinner. And friend, I can tell you I've proved it. And I'm sure there are many in this room have proved it. How ready God is to receive us and to impart remission of sins and the gift of his Holy Spirit. It's free, absolutely free. We can't merit forgiveness. We must come to the Saviour acknowledging our sins and receive the forgiveness which he's ready to bestow. We cannot merit the gift of God's Holy Spirit either. It's given freely. It's preached. It's the report of faith. It's the basis on which God's Holy Spirit is given to those who believe and obey the glad tidings. What a wonderful Saviour. What a work. A full work, a completed work, a finished work, a work that's eternal in all its value. A friend, if your faith is in Jesus and in that work on Calvary's cross, then nothing can ever shake you. Your feet are on the rock. May every one of us here tonight be firmly established on Jesus, the Rock of Ages. I just read in chapter 8 of Acts, here was a man who was seeking satisfaction. He sought it in religion. He went up to Jerusalem to worship. He was in real earnest. He went 300 miles or so across desert in a chariot. He was really earnest. He really wanted to know peace and joy and happiness. But he hadn't found it in Jerusalem. And he was returning. And he was reading this lovely prophet Isaiah. And God sent this evangelist to him, Philip, to explain it, to explain of whom the prophet was speaking. And he announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. Oh, friend, how wonderful it is, the glad tidings of Jesus, the blessed man who died on Calvary's cross, but's now seated on the Father's throne, and God is setting forth a prince and a saviour, Jesus, the glad tidings of Jesus. And he told him how his life was taken from the earth, and the heart of the eunuch was moved at the way, God's way, the way the Saviour went, this suffering way, led as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep is dumb in the presence of him that shears him, so he opened not his mouth. God's way, the way the Saviour went. And he said, what hinders my being baptized? I don't know, friend, whether you've ever made a committal to Jesus. If you've come to him as your Saviour, would you know the forgiveness of your sins? Would you know that you've got peace with God? It's true that you're secure for all eternity. But friend, what about a committal to Jesus? He commanded his chariot to stop. He called a halt to his own way. And he went God's way. He went the way of committal. He said, if Jesus went out of the world that way, I'm going to be identified with him. The death of Jesus. He died here. He was buried here. That's really what baptism means. That we are identified with him in his death and in his burial. That life that we lived before we knew Jesus is ended in his death. The things we found pleasure in then, we've finished with. We've found a new centre, a new source of life in Jesus. It says of this eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. Friend, I can only say from a little experience, but the way of full committal to Jesus, of following him down here, and being loyal and true to him in everyday life, is the way of true happiness. It eludes men and the world, but the way of true happiness is to be loyal and true to Jesus. Friend, you can come into this way tonight, and those of us who perhaps have been in it in some measure can come into it in a more real and living way tonight. A fresh transaction with the Saviour, our hearts freshly moved by the suffering way that he went to deliver us and free us from the bonds of sin, that we might be set free to love him and to serve him and to praise him. Soon, in his Father's house above, the journey here will soon be over. But friend, may each one of us be committed to the Saviour, a rejected Saviour still, soon to be come forth to reign in this world as King of Kings, but still a rejected Saviour. And he calls us in the Gospel to follow him. May we each one be prepared, dear friend, in love for him, to follow more closely every day of our lives for his name's sake. Amen.